Good morning and welcome to chapel. It is lovely to have some visitors here with us today. And I think some of our ranks might have spring fever and be out on this glorious, glorious day. So I'm especially grateful for those of you who are here. Before we start with the order of worship that centers around the theme of attending to God, I just wanted to invite us to take a moment of silence to recognize any places in our own heart or own community that are hurting, and also especially to recognize the school shooting in Florida. And I will end that time, I want to tell you right up front, with words to a hymn that's called If We Just Talk of Thoughts and Prayers. And it's trying to get us to think about the fact that every time we have a mass shooting, we offer thoughts and prayers, but really we need to do more than that. We need to think beyond that into action. So join me in a time of silence, and I will close it with the words to this hymn. Receive now these words that are written by Carolyn Winfrey Gillette. If we just talk of thoughts and prayers and don't live out a faith that dares, and don't take on the ways of death, our thoughts and prayers, our fleeting breath. If we just dream of what could be and do not build community and do not seek to change our ways, our dreams of change are false displays. If we just sing of doing good and don't walk through our neighborhood to learn its hopes, to ease its pain, our talk of good is simply vain. God, may our prayers and our dreams and our songs lead us to a faith that takes on wrongs, that works for peace and justice too. Then will our prayers bring joy to you. Amen. So if you would turn with me in the back of the purple book to number 146. 146. Our theme for today has to do with being attentive, attending to God, so I invite you to look for that word in this call to worship. Christ, our teacher, you reach into our lives not through instruction, but story. Open our hearts to be attentive, that seeing we may perceive, and hearing we may understand, and understanding we may act upon your word in your name. Amen.
From Isaiah 42, 5 through 9, 21 to 23. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The Lord was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to magnify his teaching and make it glorious, but this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. They have become a prey with no one to rescue, a spoil with no one to say, restore. Who among you will give heed to this? Who will attend and listen for the time to come?
It's my privilege today to introduce and welcome Janine Birchie Johnson. Janine wears four hats, as far as I can tell, and probably more, but she is campus pastor, she is an admissions counselor, she is the alumni director, and she also teaches at the Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana, which happens to be the seminary that my husband and I graduated from, so I know it's like conflict of interest to tell you that, but it is true. Janine has real passion for worship leading, for music, for community, creating it, helping to sustain it, and she really enjoys and is gifted at calling forth gifts in other people. And I'm grateful that she's willing to share with us this morning. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you. It's so good to be with all of you, especially as we start this Lenten journey together. I heard an astonishing claim a few weeks ago. It's apparently something that's been talked about for the last couple of years in marketing circles especially, but I just heard it. Maybe you've heard it. The claim is that the average human attention span is now 8 seconds, which is less than the attention span of a goldfish, which is 9 seconds. So when I heard that, it caught my attention, and for more than 8 seconds. I've been thinking about that a lot since then. The only problem is, it's not true. Even though people keep using this claim to argue that advertisers only have this short window of time to make their pitch before people lose interest, even though professors wonder how to spice up their lectures so that they can draw back the minds that are wandering, even though preachers think that by this point in the sermon they need to be telling a joke, yeah, it turns out that this goldfish myth was not based in good research, no scientific study to back it up. And when you think about it, you realize that either it can't be true or you are an exceptional human being. I mean, think about this. I just listened to an hour-long lecture and I even took notes. I must have the attention span of a dolphin, right? So we know that this can't be true. And yet there's something about that claim that caught my attention, that made me wonder about it. And so I started thinking about why are we so immediately ready to jump on this and to use that and to believe it. And I think it's because of what's happening in the world around us and how it's impacting us. We have just this sense of information overload coming at us all the time. I'm sure your life is like mine. You have 100 projects you're working on. You're checking your email too many times every day. And when you do listen to the news, it just makes you want to despair. There's so much that seems to be coming and crashing against us. And in the midst of all these things that are trying to command our attention, we sense that it's really hard to pay attention to one thing for a sustained amount of time. And it's hard to pay attention to things that aren't dinging at us or flashing images in our face. And that means it's especially hard to pay attention to God and what God is doing. Because God rarely comes in flashy ways or in identifiable ringtones. Most of the time, God comes to us in ways that are either silent or in whispers or in things we actually have to turn aside and pay attention to. Today I want to look at this passage from Isaiah 42, think about attending to God. The first part of Isaiah 42 that we heard is very familiar to us. It's one of the servant songs describing a servant who's going to work on God's behalf. And most of our ears hear this phrase, "I've given you as a light to the nations." And we think of Jesus, who fully embodied this servant role that's described by Isaiah. But it's also an invitation to all of God's people, including us. We've been called to be servants, to be light to the nations. We've been called to open blind eyes, to bring out people who are imprisoned in dark dungeons. The task of God's servants is to help people see, to release them from the places where they're trapped, to give hope. And if we jump to the end of Isaiah 42, to the last verses that were read, we find a similar theme, but a much less familiar passage. "The Lord was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to magnify his teaching and make it glorious. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. They've become a prey with no one to rescue, a spoil with no one to say restore. Who among you will give heed to this? Who will attend and listen for the time to come?" What is Isaiah saying? Well, God's teachings are clear enough to understand. There's some basic instructions given to us. Love God with your whole being. Love your neighbor as yourself. Care wisely for creation. Live peaceably with each other. Do not covet what your neighbors possess. Take care of the marginalized and the powerless people in your midst. Live holy lives because your God is holy, and so on. As a whole, people aren't doing very well with this, are we? It's almost as if we have been overpowered by forces too strong to resist. We are a people robbed by the staggering costs of militarism. We are a people trapped in the hole of insatiable consumerism. Our environment has been plundered by our reckless rape of the earth's resources. We are a people hidden in the prisons of individualism and apathy. We've become a prey to the polarization industry, which makes its wealth by dividing us into factions and encouraging us to scorn the other. We cannot work together on critical issues such as immigration and climate change because they're seen as the political agenda of one party. We are the spoil of these forces of a dysfunctional culture. And in the midst of this bleak reality, the words of Isaiah pierce our hearts. "Who among you will attend?" Give heed to this. Attend and listen for the time to come. This text invites, even urges us, that some of the most important work of God's servants is to attend, to listen, and to imagine. What does it mean to attend? Well, quite simply, it means paying attention to what's happening in the world around us. But it's much harder than it sounds. It's so easy in our current context to ignore what's happening around us. We're in a constant state of hurry. We struggle to keep up with that overload of information. Many of us are preoccupied by our work or our studies and find it hard to make time for what seems to be wasted activity. In addition, we might find it emotionally exhausting to pay attention to the world around us. Much of what we hear and see out there alarms us. If we truly attend to it, we may feel despair or guilt, and we'd rather not face those emotions. Some of the problems around us are so big that we feel helpless and hopeless and shut down our attending function rather than allowing ourselves to move to a place of action. What does it mean to listen? Spiritual director Jean Stares writes, "To listen is to wait with a posture of alertness, in anticipation of hearing something of the voice and presence of God, who longs for us to be whole and abundantly alive. We do not listen in order to make God present. We open our ears as a way of responding to the presence of God, who is already and always present in our lives, with or without our recognition." End of quote. Isaiah 42, verse 23, specifically cries out for someone to listen for the time to come. What does that mean? I believe it links back to verse 9, where God declares, "See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." This is about imagining, looking beyond what is, and wondering what God wants to happen. Imagining means taking our place as co-creators with God, not taking the place of God, trying to change things according to our own agenda, but keeping before us the vision of God's intended future, God's intention for the created order, and then thinking about how we might creatively join with God's activity in restoration. When we imagine the time to come, the new things that God is causing to spring forth, there are endless possibilities for our involvement. Imagining a new reality becomes the basis for experimentation and action. These acts don't have to be big. Most of them will be something small, but from these small seeds can grow mighty trees. Lent is a season when we are invited to attend more closely to God. In the midst of the brokenness of our world, where is God? What is God trying to say? What is the new thing God is doing or wants to do through us? I know that seminaries talk a lot about tending our spiritual life and paying attention to the presence of God. This is basic to our formation as ministering persons. So when I thought about what I want to attend to during this season of Lent, I came up with 5 things. I'll share them with you, not because this is what you need to do, what you need to attend to, but to cultivate your own imagining spirit. How is God calling you to attend, to listen, and to imagine? First, I decided to attend to something in creation. I want to spend time each day gazing at a river or a leaf or a bird or something else. I want to listen to what I'm hearing. I want to ponder the beauty and mystery and brokenness of God's creation and ask myself how I am protecting it. I took the train from Indiana to West Virginia, and yesterday morning I spent a lot of time just observing the beautiful valleys the train went through. But even as I admired the beauty of rocks and rivers and sycamore trees and the bald eagle that flew 50 feet away from my window, I also noticed several places where hundreds of old tires and a variety of metal appliances had been dumped into a creek bed. Beauty and brokenness. I decided to each day pay attention to someone who is hurting. This could be someone who's sick or depressed or brokenhearted or grieving or lonely or losing their memory, someone who's been harassed or abused. I want to listen to them without trying to fix them. I want to remind them that God cares for them just as I do, and I want to hold them in prayer, imagining God's healing grace flowing over them. Third, every day I want to attend to the other. I want to get to know someone who is very different from me. On the train, I got to sit next to a tattoo artist. I want to read something that I disagree with in order to try to understand another perspective. Or ask someone to tell me how they came to a position that's different than mine. I want to listen without arguing. I want to imagine the other as a beloved child of God and think about the ways we need each other to live into God's wholeness. Fourth, I want to pay attention to at least one global issue every day. It's so easy for my world to collapse into a little seminary bubble or to let myself be imprisoned by apathy. I want to dare to care. I want to listen for signs of hope as well as signs of trouble. I want to imagine what God is calling me to do in response and take some time every month to do something. And finally, every day, I want to attend to joy. I want to make music or be inspired by art or laugh with a friend. I want to rejoice in those new things that God is trying to do and look for hints of that. So what is God inviting you to do, to be, this Lenten season? How might you make more space to closely attend to the world around you, to see and interpret signals you might have missed before? How might you more carefully listen for what God is saying, to develop your posture of alertness? How might you imagine the new thing God is doing and proclaim that the time to come is already breaking into our midst? Attending to God allows us to renew our sense of hope, our deep trust in God in spite of the mess that our world is in. Hope gives us reason to act as if God's future is coming even before we see it. We get to join in God's restoration project, helping to bring God's shalom into our present reality. We enact what we can imagine. My prayer for the beginning of this Lenten journey is that God might open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts so that we can attend and listen for the time to come in the confidence that God is making all things new. May God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janine, for making a space for us as we go into Lent. I'm glad to hear I have more of an attention than a goldfish. I'm not sure about my students. Janine ended her time talking about hope, and I really appreciate that, and invited us to join in God's restoration project. So that is the phrase I'd like to leave with you today, as you go forth from here, to think about what it means to be part of God's restoration project. As we attend to God and God's work in the world and in our own lives, we are freed up then to live as people of hope. We are freed up to be part of that restoration project. I'd like to invite you to join me in a time of prayer that will close our time together. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see your face. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to hear your voice. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to hear. And open our hearts, Lord. Help us to love like you. Open our hearts, Lord. Help us to love. Now may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you. And may God give you peace. Amen.